The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to today's podcast, sponsored by Hillsdale College. All things Hillsdale at hillsdale.edu. I encourage you to take advantage of the many free online courses there. And, of course, to listen to the Hillsdale Dialogues, all of them at hughforhillsdale.com, or just Google Apple, iTunes, and Hillsdale. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. All right, I have a proposition for you on this first day of April 2024. It's not an April Fool's joke. I just don't believe there are any undecided voters left in America. I don't. I don't think anyone's undecided. And I think every one of you out there who's going to work or just waking up, having your coffee, or listening to the podcast, you've already decided you're going to vote for Biden or you're going to vote for Trump. I don't think there are any undecided voters. And so I don't really think raising money matters much. It might matter down ticket in a few races where people are up in the air. They might split their ticket. I'm not sure. But we allegedly have an undecided voter after trying most of the morning to find an undecided voter. Greg in Strongsville, Ohio, is called in. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Not bad. Good to talk to you, Hugh.
Now, how old are you, Greg?
57.
All right. So you voted for a few presidents in your time, right?
Yep.
Who'd you vote for in 2020?
2020, I voted for Donald Trump.
How about 2016?
Kind of reluctantly, but I voted for Donald Trump.
And 2016?
Again, reluctantly, Donald Trump.
How about the two Obama elections? Did you vote for President Obama either time?
Actually, I did both times, which kind of surprised me because I'm generally Republican-leaning.
And then about W in 2000 versus Gore and then W versus Kerry in 2004?
I actually voted for Kerry, which again surprised me. I voted for W in 2000. I really wanted John McCain, and he didn't make it in, what, 2000? And in
2008.
2008, what he ran? Yeah,
yep, 2008.
You know, Sarah Palin ruined it for me. You know,
all right, so now
Joe Lieberman.
You're on both sides of it then, and you are genuinely undecided now.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just unpack your reading because you're the only one we've found.
Yeah, that's why I called in, because we actually exist out there.
I really don't believe there's going to be, you're like the outlier of outliers. So I want to know why you can't decide. What more could you possibly learn between now and October?
Well, I think your assumption is that it's a binary choice, which I guess, you know, if you play the odds, maybe it is binary because it's going to be one of those two. You know, if it were Nikki Haley, if it were Ron DeSantis, if it were Chris Christie, hands down, I would not be undecided. I'd be voting for any of them. What's his name? Asa Hutchinson.
But it's not. It is binary. I mean, you can vote for Cornel West or Robert Kennedy Jr. You can do that. But it's either going to be...
I struggle with them. I was really, you know, I really was hoping last week when there was a chance that Chris Christie would have gone no labels, I would have voted for him in a heartbeat. So here, I'll unpack. So Democratic-wise, yeah, there's no way I could vote for Joe Biden or probably, unless it was a Joe Manchin, I don't see myself voting for any Democrat. I think they've just kind of made a train wreck of everything, you know, the border, among other things. But on the Republican side, you know, Donald Trump is just... He's disappointed me, you know, both times I thought, okay, well, this is just his shtick. He's going to be an adult and govern. And he just, it's not a shtick. It's who he is. But what sealed it for me was January 6th. You know, I was working from home. I was sitting there watching that as he fired the crowd up with the qualifier of peacefully, which it seems he threw in like, knowing something was going to happen. That's surmising on my part. But to sit there as president of the United States for 4 hours and say absolutely nothing while the capital of the United States is being attacked is just, it's irresponsible and disqualifying. right then it hit me. I go, I could never vote for this guy again. And I'm just stunned that he's running and that he's doing so well. I mean, I get that he's put in a very conservative Supreme Court. He's done some good things. He's been anti-woke. I'm all for that. But just as a person and the actions he's done, he's disqualifying. So
do you have children? Greg, do you have kids?
They're both. One graduates college this year. One graduated last year.
So you don't. Do you have grandchildren yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, so it's going to be Biden or Trump is going to be president. And you really want Joe Biden? You're going to just stay home or throw your vote away?
No, I'm not going to stay home. I'll definitely vote for somebody. I've got to, it may end up, if no labels, it looks like, isn't going to put anybody, it isn't going
Nobody.
To kill anybody. Everybody qualified's turned them down. I may just have to vote libertarian.
You're not undecided. You're just not going to vote for. That's not what I asked. You're not undecided. You're not going to vote for Biden.
No.
You're not going to vote for Trump.
I'm decided on that. I'm just.
Yeah, well, there you go. So you're not undecided.
I'm going to vote for.
You're just screwing around. No, you're not, because you're not going to vote. You're basically opting out.
No, I'm going to vote.
But you're not going to vote for one of the two guys who are going to win.
I'll tell you, Hugh, it's. I think Americans accepting this binary thing, the Republican Party has been completely changed. I don't think you deny that, and corrupted. And
I do deny that. I don't think it's corrupted. I don't think it's corrupted at all. I think there's a big realignment underway where people who are, for example, blue collar workers have come Republican because they hate inflation. And they like Trump's personality, his wrecking ball personality. But I also think a lot of Democrats are leaving the Democratic Party because of Israel, because the party's turned against Israel. But you are not undecided as between Biden and Trump. You're not going to vote for either of them. There's nothing that can change that, right?
Well, if you want to put it that way, semantically, that would be true, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you're not undecided.
Who I'm going to pull a lever for.
Yeah, but you're not, maybe I phrased the question the wrong way. But generally, I'll just rephrase the question, as between Biden and Trump, there are no undecided people. And so why don't we just have the election now and spare us the next 6.5 months?
I don't know. I don't think that's how America works. I'm really interested to see what pans out between now and November. I tend not to vote early because, you worry about an October surprise or something like that. We'll see what pans out with court cases. We'll see if the Democrats, if Joe Biden, gracefully steps down before the election. I mean, it's becoming evident he's fairly infirm and everything. There's a lot that could happen. So, no, I would not be in favor of, say, having the election right now.
You just put your finger on something. Things could change if the president bows out and Kamala Harris is the nominee. We could have a landslide for Donald Trump. But as between Trump and Biden, my proposition is as between Trump and Biden, there are no undecided voters. Either they're going to vote for Trump, they're going to vote for Biden, or they're not going to vote. And showing up and voting.
That way, I would agree.
All right. I just don't think that way, I'd agree. Oh, thank you. Because I just don't think, I don't know what we're going to talk about for the next 6 months, because I'm going to talk about Israel. I'm going to talk about the war and things in the international arena. But I don't think I can persuade anyone to do anything on the election. They've already made up their mind, like you have. You're just not going to vote for either of these guys. By the way, if Trump had been responsible for January 6th, don't you think Jack Smith would have indicted him?
I've known people like Donald Trump, and I've worked with people like that who know how to say and do things just the right side of legal. And I think he's managed to do that.
Well, that was just the right side of legal. It's meaning not illegal, not criminal. And so I do believe a lot of people will say he didn't really see that coming, and maybe he froze and didn't quite get the gravity of what was going on, despite all of the tweets and the messages, including mine. But it's to my key point. I just don't think there's any data that's going to arrive that's going to change people's mind. I think maybe it's inchoate at this point. Maybe there are some people out there who haven't fully articulated that they're going to vote for Trump, or they're not going to vote, or they're going to vote against Biden. But I just don't think there are any real people waiting for data as between Biden and Trump. And Greg, you're in Strongsville.
I definitely agree.
Yeah, I just think it's over. And to me, by the way, were you surprised the president went forward with the fundraiser on the same day as the funeral of the officer in New York?
To be honest with you, I didn't really give it any thought. It is sometimes kind of stunning how he, he didn't visit East Palestine for, Palestine for, what was it, close to a year? Has he ever gone there, actually? I don't know,
No, he's going to be up in Baltimore soon. He can't win Ohio, so he's not going to go to Ohio. It's pretty much, I can't win there, but I can raise some money in Baltimore, so I'll go up there and try and get a fundraiser in while I'm making a bridge stop. Hey, thank you so much, Greg. I appreciate the call, and I appreciate helping me flesh out my thesis a little bit more. As between Biden and Trump, there are no undecided voters, meaning you're either going to vote for Donald Trump, you're going to vote for Joe Biden, or you're not going to vote for either of them. And there's nobody on the fence, 100% nobody. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Bethany Mandel joins me. Good morning, Bethany. How are you?
Good morning.
No April Fool jokes. I'm not going to do any April Fool jokes. This is a real question. Do you think there are any undecided voters in America about between Biden and Trump? You think anybody has not made up their mind
yet? You're looking at one. You're looking at one. This is one right here.
Really?
What am I going to do?
Yeah, well, are you going to vote for third party? I mean, really, between Biden and Trump, you don't know what to do?
I mean, between Biden and Trump, I don't know who I want to vote for, but I know who I want to vote against.
Who is that?
Both of them.
You're a double no. And I know that, but I'm still believing in your heart of hearts, you already know who you're going to vote for, or you're not going to vote.
I don't want to do it again. I don't know. I was like playing footsie with RFK for like 30 seconds, and his VP choice was so bad that I couldn't do it, and I don't want to do.
And so you really don't know what to do.
I didn't sign up for this. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Come on, you close the deal.
I'm just pushing here, Bethany. You are very normal. You're very in the middle. I know you don't like Donald Trump as a person. Okay, I get all that. But between Trump and Biden, you're not electing one person. You're electing 3,000 people. And Kamala Harris is likely going to be president. You know that, and I know that.
I know.
So do you really not know who you're going to vote for?
I am curious to see who Donald Trump chooses as his running mate. And then when he's 80-something years old, it's the same decision, honestly. Not quite as dire. But I'm very curious to see who he chooses. And if he has a moderating person in his, and I'm not talking about like politics moderating, I'm talking about like personality. Is there someone who can control his eccentricities? I just want someone in the White House who can tell him to walk away from Truth Social.
You know, the vice president doesn't really have anything to do with that, but it might change if there are any undecided. You're not really undecided. You're not voting for Biden in any condition, right?
No, I'm not voting for Biden for sure.
So you are not voting for Biden. You haven't decided yet whether you're going to vote for Trump. So you're not really an undecided voter. You've decided something. You're
so
not voting for Biden.
The choice to me is voting for Trump or just not voting at the top of the ticket. That's the choice.
And that's abdicating your obligation, right?
Are you my husband's grandmother?
But that's still a decision against Biden.
I'm just saying the citizens of the United States have to pick someone to be president of the United States. And if you punt, you're punting.
I love how Dwayne just like brings the mic in. He's like, all right, we need another voice in here. This is like the voice of sanity behind the curtain on The Wizard of Oz.
Well,
like,
somebody's got to do it.
I need to get in here.
He wants me to take you down.
You.
But I don't take down my guests. I don't push you into a corner. I'm just pointing out, you are not really undecided. You just haven't brought yourself to the realization you got to vote for Donald Trump because it's 3,000 people, not one, and Kamala Harris is going to be president.
I know all the facts.
I'm
not happy about it.
But my proposition today is that there are no real undecided voters. There might be a lot of conflicted voters out there, but there aren't any undecided voters. How's that?
Yeah, that's fair. There's tortured, emotionally vulnerable, and angry voters, but maybe there's nobody undecided. That's fair.
Did you listen to Chris Van Hollen yesterday on ABC News this week? Did you read Jeff Merkley's tweet? They're both anti-Israel.
Awful. Are you going to do this to Mary Catherine in a couple days?
I am.
I want her to have this experience. Okay, good.
I'm going to do it to everyone. I'm going to do it to Garrity after the break because I don't believe anyone's actually truly undecided. I think you're a Trump voter, Bethany, and that you just have to say it like the Fonz saying I was wrong. Are you old enough to know that episode?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you're being the Fonz. I was wrong. You can't say I will vote for Donald Trump, which is okay.
Yeah.
But on the stand, I think we can prove, because you know you're not under oath right now, we could prove you've actually decided.
That's future Bethany's problem.
Adam is laughing in my ear. That's future Bethany.
Wish her the best of luck.
Bethany, you're running for office. Let's tell everyone where they can find your website. Where is Bethany 4 BOE found?
Bethany4BOE.com. I'm bringing sanity to Montgomery County. There's probably a lot of voters in Montgomery County who actually feel this way about me and voting for me. They're like, oh, she's probably for the best, but I hate her because I live in a very deep blue county. But I will bring sanity back to the Board of Education. No more pride puppy in kindergarten. Let's focus on phonics instead. Crazy idea, I know.
Crazy idea. Let's get our absenteeism down below 25%. That would be a good thing to start. Bethany, I'm sorry I ambushed you, but I will ambush Mary Catherine too. Like I'm about to ambush Garrity. Glory America, bonjour, hi, Canada. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Good morning to you. Jim Garrity, of course, with National View and The Washington Post. Jim, good morning. Happy April 1st. No April Fool's joke for you. Good to talk to you.
It is good to talk to you, Hugh. I feel like for the last couple of years, April Fool's Day has been superfluous. Every day the news is so – every day there's some headline that sounds like an April Fool's Day joke. So it kind of feels – the idea of like, oh, you know, Donald Trump said something crazy today. Like, okay, that's every other day. Oh, Biden said something that makes him sound senile. That's every other day. It's God bless the people at the Babylon Bee. I understand the Onion's in trouble. It's very hard to do satire in a world where things already seem absurd every day.
I've done some fairly effective April Fool pranks on this radio show over the years. Would I become John McCain's press secretary? Would I join the Joe Biden administration? I've been on, and it worked, but I'm just not in the mood this year. And I came to the conclusion, I was thinking about that there are a couple of things I want to put out there, and I want to put you on the spot like I just did Bethany Mandel, who's now mad at me. Have you decided Biden or Trump yet?
Oh, no, yeah, yes, neither.
Neither. So you're not an undecided voter?
I'm undecided amongst all the other, actually, not Kennedy either. So I'm very curious as to what No Labels is going to put up. If Kennedy somehow gets the Libertarian nomination, he's got to be the least Libertarian of all time because he used to talk about he wishes New York State would shut down the Cato Institute or whatever, you know, American Enterprise Institute. Back in his like crazy environmental days, which were like 20 minutes ago, he was, you know, absolutely let's use state power to suppress speech that I don't like. And he could be the Libertarian nominee, people.
All right. Now, Jim, the reason I ask this is my proposition is that there are no undecided voters in the United States on the presidential level. None. That people may not be voting. They may be voting for Kennedy. They might vote for Cornel West. They may not like it. But everybody knows their own mind. They may not be saying it. So the point of raising money doesn't make any sense to me. Does it make any sense to you?
Yeah, it's conceivable somebody might change their mind. I don't think there are that many. I think the people who are most tuned out, the people who do not pay attention to politics until mid-October at the earliest, right? It's got to be like the World Series time, and that's what baseball playoffs is when they actually will tune in. And those, God knows what affects those folks. You know, they are the least you know, somebody once said, like, we, you know, people who listen to your program, people who read me, you're into politics. You probably have a coherent philosophy. You have a worldview in which because of this, because of this, because of this, therefore the candidate I like most is this. And we kind of like 1 + 2 + 3 = 6, right? And for the undecideds out there, it's like 2 + green + Z equals the San Francisco 49ers. And therefore I'm voting for Trump, or therefore I'm voting for Biden. It is a way of
my number one,
cannot get our heads.
My number one argument for anyone who is quote undecided is that you're not voting for one person. You're voting for 3000 people. If you're voting for Biden, you're really voting for Kamala Harris. But if you're voting for Trump, you're really voting for Trump, because he's going to be fine for 4 years. And the vice president might matter a little bit, but I don't think it'll matter a lot. He could, if the former president selects a Cotton or a Pompeo, he might bring in the pro-Israel American vote. Do you think that's true?
That would reassure a bunch of folks who are not on board. I don't think he would ever pick Nikki Haley, but a normal big front runner who was losing anywhere from 40% at the high end. I guess Vermont would be the high end. You know, the 20% is what right now, about 20% of the votes cast in the Republican primary so far were Nikki Haley. You put somebody, a more establishment, for lack of a better term, a less erratic, less nationalist populist figure as vice president, much like Mike Pence was. And it would reassure a bunch of Republicans who are like, OK, there's at least a voice at the table who I trust, who's going to be able to steer Trump away from his worst decisions. And, you know, this person would be a heartbeat away from the presidency. I don't know if we're going to get that.
There's a chance you'll vote for Trump?
No. Stop looking for that, Hugh. When I, you know, people throw "never Trump" at me as this derisive term, and it's like, no, that's who I am. Never. I did not.
I just want to get you to agree with me. No one has not made up their mind between Trump and Biden.
I agree with that.
And so I just think the money, I said this on Special Report on Friday night, Joe Biden raises $25 million, or there's a Wall Street Journal story this morning that former President Trump has a big billionaire bash going on this week. It doesn't matter. You cannot buy anyone's attention in this election. Everybody is attached somewhere. No free electrons.
Money matters. Money matters down ticket. Money matters if you spend it early and define the opponent. Clinton versus Dole, 1996 in the summer, you know, things like that. With two extremely well-known candidates, one literal incumbent and one who is a quasi-incumbent, because the country's already seen Trump as president. I can't imagine we can make that much of a difference. And the other thing which I periodically think of every now and then when it talks about this giant fundraising advantage that Biden has, you look back to 2016. Up until very late, Hillary Clinton had a phenomenal lead in the number of campaign offices, particularly in swing states, places like Ohio, places like Pennsylvania, Iowa, down in Florida. And in some of these cases, it was like 17-1. Hillary Clinton had, by every stretch of the imagination, the much more organized, professional, disciplined, well-resourced campaign. And we saw that it didn't work. So I learned the lesson that, like, at some point it stops mattering. If at some point the dog doesn't want to eat the dog food, and if your candidate stinks, and Hillary Clinton was a deeply flawed candidate, particularly for that moment in American life, so in the end, will this make a decision on the margins? Can you get more door knockers? Can you have more people providing people rides to the polls?
Bingo.
Yeah, that all helps, but
that's it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing they can do on either side is build an organization to drive somebody to the polls during early voting. That's the only thing that money can be used for is turnout, because there's not any open mind. This is the most static election I've ever seen, because, you know, I'm 68. I've done this 12 times and I've won 6 times. I've lost 6 times. This one, I don't think I can persuade anyone one way or the other, Jim, because it's all the cake is baked.
Yeah. And again, like, I think one of the reasons there's such enormous curiosity about who Trump is going to pick as his running mate, it's the first new face on this election. You know, Biden's old, Trump is old. Think about both these people have been celebrities since the early 80s, right? I mean, Biden became, you know, something of a household name. You can pick the Clarence Thomas hearings. You can pick his disastrous 1980. But people have known who Joe Biden is for a very long time. Harris is something of a fresher face, but I think America feels like they know her pretty well. They've seen her. They are not enthused, not a fan. And so this, whoever the Republican, and even Kennedy, well, there was a certain amount of interest, certain amount of excitement. I think the perception that there were folks on the right who were curious about Kennedy was when he was running as a Democrat against Joe Biden. And the moment he became an independent and he stopped being a problem for Biden, there was much less interest in it. Now, it does seem like, at least what we've seen in the polling so far, that Kennedy is a bigger headache for Biden than for Trump, which might surprise you. You might think it might kind of...
I am surprised by that. In fact, a week ago, I answered a question. I was at an event with former Senator Heidi Heitkamp, and I got asked a question, who does Robert Kennedy hurt more? And I said he hurts Trump more because he gets some anti-vax people would otherwise go with Trump. But then I've reviewed the data. That's not true. He actually hurts Kennedy. Kennedy hurts Biden more than he hurts Trump.
And you would think, well, first of all, there was some survey that indicated I can't remember the exact figure, but it was a disturbingly high number of people believed that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was Robert F. Kennedy, the brother of John F. Kennedy. Robert F. Kennedy was like 99 years old now. And I just looked at that and I was like, American education system has failed in ways we did not think they were capable of failing. Because, like, what do they hear? That they remember coverage of the assassination and think he got better?
I have a quote for you. A cause of many of our mistakes and problems is ignorance, an overwhelming national ignorance of the facts about the rest of the world. You know who said that? Hyman Rickover in 1979 at a commencement address. Do you think that's more or less true than when he said it?
Oh, I tell you, it's terrifying. There's the things that are not known. You know, the Reagan quote, it's not that our friends on the left are ignorant, it's that they know so much that isn't so. The perception that foreign aid is a huge part of our deficit. The idea that there's a Social Security lockbox, as Al Gore used to say, and that there's a giant pile of money. So, like, you know, just the idea that the rich don't pay the most taxes right now. Like, the sheer amount of people, things that people, like, just people just believe things. And you've talked about it on your program. I write it. Our audiences are small in the vastness of the 330 million Americans. Anyway, but like people just know these things and nothing to dissuade them of these absolute myths.
And not only do they not know what they don't know that they don't have any choice left because they've already made up in their mind who they're going to vote for or not vote for. Jim Garrity, you are my Exhibit A. Thank you. I appreciate that. Bethany was holding out. She said that's future Bethany's problem, but I don't believe that. I will be right back, America.
If tears began to rise.
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Congressman John Campbell spent a decade trying to get the Financial Services Committee in the House of Representatives to function correctly. Before that, he was in the State Senate of California. Before that, he was in the House, the legislature, the Assembly in California. Then he left California. And so he joins me this morning. He is the host, along with Dwayne, our own Dwayne, of the Look Through the Chaos podcast. John, I was not here on Friday when the Federal Reserve either announced or didn't announce something. The inflation data came out. Will you tell me what that inflation data meant?
Nothing. It was pretty much as expected. So people who wanted either to see inflation going down, the numbers didn't show that. People who maybe wanted to see inflation going up, the numbers didn't show that. But what they did show is that it's stubborn, that inflation was up to 9%. It's dropped now to 3-4%, but that it seems to be stuck there and it doesn't want to go down from there, and that it perhaps is stuck there, and that there are some indications that from here it may bounce up before it goes down. But Friday's figures weren't particularly noteworthy. I thought the more noteworthy thing Friday that Chairman Jerome Powell said was, and it's Good Friday, you know, nobody was really paying any attention.
No one's
watching. The markets were closed.
Right.
No one's watching. The markets were closed. But someone asked him a rather interesting question and said, what do you want your legacy to be? Considering that either, you know, Trump has said he might fire him if he's reelected president. And Biden's not particularly happy with him now because Biden wants him to cut rates faster than he is to help him in the election. But what Powell said to me was reassuring. He said that he wants his legacy to be that he maintains the credibility of the Federal Reserve. Now, there's a lot of new members of the Federal Reserve appointed by Biden who really are social activists. They're not economists. And they want to turn the Federal Reserve, the monetary policy of the United States, into another tool of social activism. So they want to do whatever they need to do with interest rates and money, you know, the printing of money, in order to benefit their social and I would call them neo-Marxist goals that they have. What Powell said Friday is that he said it without saying it directly is that that would upset the credibility of the Federal Reserve, and he wants to try and preserve it. So that was encouraging to me because I know there's a bunch of people on the Federal Reserve want to lower interest rates a bunch right now in order to help Biden's reelection because they care more about transgender education in schools and they care more about helping Hamas and they care more about other stuff than they do about monetary policy and economics. So that to me was encouraging, and it was a very quiet statement. It was unexpected and nobody heard it on Friday, but we'll know for sure how successful he is in the next few months.
Now, there was a Wall Street Journal story this morning. Inflation victory is proving elusive, challenging central banks and market. In the U.S. and Europe, underlying inflation has stopped falling or edged higher recently, weakening the case for rate cuts. And then it goes on and explains. The headlines always tell you everything in the journal. So we're not winning. We're screwed. We're going to be between 3% and 4% inflation this year. Is that what you think?
Yes, I think so, and probably even higher after that. The whisper word in the world economics is that there's so much debt and so forth out there, and that that central banks, the Fed included, but not only the Fed, including the European Central Bank and others, that they are worried that if they truly get inflation down to 2%, the only way to do that is to force recession by raising interest rates and tightening monetary policy enough that it forces recession. And they don't want to do that. So what they're kind of the whisper word is they've decided, you know what, 2% inflation was a nice idea, but we probably can't get there without a lot of economic pain. So let's settle for 3 or 4. Let's settle that's really okay. That's not too bad. That's not hyperinflation. And so we won't say it, but we'll go ahead and understand with wink, wink, nod, nod.
I think that's exactly right. And we did not rehearse that. I think they have given up on 2%.
We never rehearse anything, do we?
We never obviously, anything, quite so. And I've been listening to
ambush me.
Yeah, I am going to ambush you shortly. But when I listened Chaos podcast, and I want to encourage everyone to go to look through the chaos podcast and give a listen to the entire explanation. At the end of that last one, I said, Campbell's really a pessimist about this. You don't think the economy is ever going to be morning in America again.
Well, I wouldn't say ever, but, recessions are not a bad thing. Everything in life, everything that lives has cycles. It goes through, you need to have winter in order to have spring and then summer. You need to prune the roses back in order for them to bloom.
What is this, a country song? What is this? Are you a musician now?
Well, that's what's behind me. You may know this is where I listen to music here in my room here in Arizona. So, but yes, it's kind of like a country song. But what recessions do is they clean out the deadwood. Capital gets misallocated. Capital has been misallocated for the last few years. Whole bunch of money is going into things that don't make money, aren't making money, and are never going to make money.
Say
electric cars. I mean, Fisker is probably going bankrupt in the next couple of weeks. It won't be the only one of the electric car company. Well, it's not even the first. There's Lordstown Motors in your favorite state of Ohio that already went down, and Fisker will be next, and there will be others. Hardly any of them, I think, of the pure electrics are going to make it. Tesla will, because it's so well established. And the Lucid, which is based here in Arizona, will probably survive because the Saudis own it and they'll keep pumping money into it because they don't need to make money. But otherwise, they're all going to be in trouble. But there's a lot of industries out there starved for capital that are having a hard time raising money because all the capital is going into these shiny new objects that don't make some of which make a lot of money, but many of which don't make any money. And you got all this money going to AI, and that's fine. Sometime we can talk about AI. I have a lot of opinions about that, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But they may that capital, a lot of this deadwood needs to go away so that capital can go into things that improve the economy, make money, increase efficiencies, et cetera, et cetera. So a recession is not a bad thing. But these central banks believe that somehow, many of them, that their objective is to repeal the business cycle and make it so there's never a recession. And the thing is if they do that, they won't. They'll fail. There will be one, but it will be harder and deeper and longer than it would have been if they just let it kind of come along.
You've just, naturally. In a nutshell, Biden was unwilling to do the Volcker thing. Biden was not willing to do what Reagan did, which is take it on the nose in your first off year in order to win re-election by calming inflation. He was unwilling to do it. And therefore, we're screwed. I got to also point out to you, Financial Times this morning, wobbly jobs data leaves central bankers on shaky ground. Economists question whether official reports offer accurate guide to the labor market. Hello, of course it doesn't, because you get to opt out and opt in. It's not made any sense for a decade.
It's actually gotten a lot worse. And part of it is, how do they get that jobs data? They send out surveys, right? They don't know. You know, if you and the Hugh Hewitt show, you know, were to fire Generalissimo, which of course you would never ever do, and not
he's
not
a squatter.
Him, there he is.
He's a squatter.
Oh my God. Anyway, but they wouldn't know that.
See, look at him. He's squatting in my studio. I can't get him out. You know, California won't let me get him out. He's squatting there.
Oh, yes. Yes, they would, because he's a white male. So you in California, you can fire white hetero. I'm honest about
that. No, but he's hair challenged. He's follically challenged. We can't get him out.
That is not a protected class. I'm sorry, Generalissimo. It is not. But you can fire a white male with impunity, a white male under 60 with impunity.
You can't get him out of the studio. I can fire him, but he's got rights. I don't think I can get rid of him. He's been in that studio for 24 years. I don't think I can get rid of him.
But back to your original point before I brought Generalissimo into this. They do surveys to find this stuff out, and the response rate of these surveys has dropped dramatically. In the 60s, 70s, 80s, everybody filled these things out. Now nobody is. They're like 30% surveys. So there's a lot of questions as to how accurate this data is because the surveys aren't that good. The second thing about employment is it doesn't really show, you know, if I was working for a Twitter, now X, before Elon let 85% of the staff go, and actually then the platform works better than it did when all those people were there. But so I was making $180,000 a year doing nothing, in particularly at Twitter, and they let.
Oh, we just lost him. We lost your connection there, John Campbell. Yeah, you totally fritzed out right before you wound up and gave us, or maybe Dwayne got mad at him.
No, he's.
We can't hear you. He went dark.
He lost his mic.
He lost his mic, and there. It's great. It's great television watching you do this, John. But we still can't hear you.
Well, fortunately, this is happening on the Dennis Prager Show and not on the podcast.
Yeah, it is. It is happening on the Dennis Prager Show. And Generalissimo, you know, we just got done slandering you for a good 10 minutes.
I heard. Because I'm squatting.
Are you taping a Look Through the Chaos podcast later with John Campbell, who's now left the studio?
We are. I don't know where he's going.
I don't know either. He's trying to make it work. It's not going to work.
It's actually kind of funny.
It is.
Yes, we are allegedly going to tape this afternoon if we can figure out the technical issues.
Good luck with that one. Want to remind everyone, a great sponsor of the program is MyPhDWeightLoss.com. Generalissimo went on that program more than a year ago, lost 50 pounds. He's kept it off. And stress eating is not allowed, I don't believe, even though we're under a lot of...
You're tempted to this week, aren't we?
Everybody is. But we don't. I'm sure they give you tricks of the trade to combat that, because that's one of the habits. You broke that habit. You're not going by Del Taco or Taco Bell.
Have not. No.
You haven't relapsed.
Have not relapsed.
And that is a, and it's healthy, it's wise, it's productive.
864-644-1900.
That's
864-644-1900.
Folks, so many people I know are disheartened that our country seems to have forgotten the importance of citizenship. And they wonder how a strong sense of citizenship might be revived. That's why my friends at Hillsdale College have produced a free online course on the topic, American Citizenship and Its Decline. Taught by historian Victor Davis Hanson, the course traces the history of citizenship and explains how it is undermined in America today by open borders, by identity politics, by the administrative state, and by globalization. Americans taking the course will gain a deeper insight about the connection between citizenship and freedom, an insight they can share with family members, friends, and neighbors. Hillsdale's free online courses are an important component of Hillsdale's mission to reach and teach increasing millions of people on behalf of liberty and the American way of life. So sign up today for Hillsdale's free online course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, by visiting hughforhillsdale.com. That's HUGHFORHillsdale.com. Hughforhillsdale.com. Start your free course today at hughforhillsdale.com. Selena Zito is here with the Yinzer Report. Before I get to your column, Selena, good day after Easter. I hope you had a happy Easter yesterday.
I did. I had a wonderful Easter.
Now, on Christmas Eve, I know you do like the 17 fishes and the different kinds of bread and the cookie table. What did the Italian Americans of Pittsburgh do on Easter? Is there anything special about Easter when it comes to the culinary side?
Well, I do all the baking. So I made apple dumplings, I made lemon tiramisu, and blueberry pie. But we always have lasagna, a ham, and sauce, and then all the sisters bring different side dishes, too.
So everybody was sated. But there isn't a 17 fishes, right, on Easter? That's not the same thing?
No, there's not seven fishes.
So I'm giving you a hard time because I looked at this story and I saw it was Dateline Youngstown, Ohio. And I thought, finally, Selena's written the Idora Park column I've been waiting for. But no, it's about Sherrod Brown not winning in Mahoning County. And I hope you're right. But someday you're going to write the Idora Park story, aren't you?
I promise you, after I write the Pirates have won four games in a row, I will write the park story.
Well, they have opened the season 4-0 for the first time, I don't know, maybe in Pirate history. They're just toying with you. I want you to know that. They're just toying with you, Selena.
I have an objection
on this column. Youngstown is the seat of Mahoning County, you write, which along with nearby Trumbull, Stark, and Columbiana counties for nearly a century have been the epicenter of New Deal union vote for Democrats. Youngstown is not the center of anything. Trumbull County is the center of everything. And so that's just, I'm fact-checking you right now, Selena. That's a fact check. You're wrong about that. You should have gone to the county courthouse. You could have talked to someone at Kent State Extension. I don't know why you went over to Youngstown State to do this story. Explain yourself.
Actually, I went all over. I was in Trumbull. I was in Stark and Columbiana and Youngstown. But I just datelined it there because I talked to a professor there. And, and I talked to voters all over all of those counties. I only in centerpieced with one person in the story, but that's because he was very reflective of what I heard throughout the valley. And as you know, that was the most Democrat region in the entire state of Ohio. And in 2010, Tim Ryan's seat, the 13th congressional seat, was the most Democrat drawn seat in the entire state. And it is not a reliable Democrat vote whatsoever. And and that dramatic began in 2016.
I love the numbers that you came up with for President Obama, won like 62%, but Donald Trump won that area twice, but I'm still curious. You had to make a choice. You go talk to some retired Youngstown State professor, or you're going to go into the hot dog shop or Sunrise Pizza or something like that. Come on, Selena, you cannot keep just going to Youngstown. We're not allowing that anymore.
I, I actually did eat at the hot dog shop because you have to eat at the hot dog shop. And it's the best hot dogs in all of America. They're so wonderful.
And the best pizzas at Sunrise Pizza. But I'm just wondering why you went to Youngstown State. There is Kent State Extension. There are a lot of places to go in Trumbull County. You don't have to go to Youngstown State every single time.
You let it go. Let it go. All
right. It's a good column. I think Sherrod Brown couldn't win this election in 100 years. I really don't. I think that Bernie Moreno is going to crush him.
He's a very talented a retail politician without being a retail politician. He's a very talented man. People minimalize him and think, oh, he's like Herschel Walker. He's like Dr. Oz, where they don't have the skill set and the tenacity to be able to sort of navigate the issues.
Bernie Moreno is a car guy. He's a car guy. Yeah. He's going to be sparkling. Right. He's a car guy. But I got to ask you about Sherrod Brown, because I have one gap to fill in. He went to Yale. I don't believe he's ever had a job that was not in the government. He's in the Ohio legislature and then in Congress and the Senate. And he graduated from Yale in 1974. Did he ever have a real job?
No. So he ran immediately after he graduated from college. In fact, his father famously did not vote for him when he ran for state senator in 1974. His father, a physician from Mansfield, was a Republican. And he thought his son was too young to be running for state senator.
Well, I'll tell you, I think Bernie is going to drive into the ground. One message is, it's time for Sherrod Brown to get a job. One that requires that you do other than show up every 2 or 4 or 6 years to ask for another vote. I must tell you, I'm astonished that he's never held a job. So, Selena, next time you go up to Trumbull County, ask the people at the hot dog shop whether they know Sherrod Brown had a job ever. And I'm glad you had a great Easter, even if you didn't have the 17 fishes. And go Pirates! Go Bucks! I mean, I'm very happy for you. 4-0, Pittsburgh. Have a good one. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned. It's Hugh Hewitt.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.